Gill, and hello, church family, and everyone else that's watching across the country. Special shout out to my little girl, Pearl. I put on lipstick for you, my darling, so I hope you can see it. And I hope you're listening to your dad right now, because I know you're having a rough morning. So anyway, hi, everyone. So before I start, before I get into the word, I guess I want to say, I just want to give a little disclaimer that today we're not really talking about one particular scripture. I'm going to be jumping all over. I wanted to tell you the story about the Apostle Peter a little bit, but at the same time, I've recognized that as I'm going through my message, I'm going off on rabbit trails, so forgive me, but I hope you can follow along, and I hope that in some way you're impacted by the Word of God today. So earlier this week, I pulled out a book called Practicing the Presence of God. It is by, I don't know if he was a monk or what, but his name was Brother Lawrence. It's a very old book. He lived in the 1600s. And one of the things that he says at the very beginning is, Lord, I cannot do this unless you enable me. And I am sure that every one of you at some point in time in our life has had to say that. Lord, I'm not going to make it through. I'm never going to be able to accomplish this if you weren't, or if you're not present in my life, if you're not the one enabling me. So for all of you, whatever your this is today, I pray that God's word would speak to you and know that you would know that he is able. So the book of Acts begins with Jesus leaving his disciples and ascending to heaven. And he's up on the mountainside with them. And they're kind of panicking a little bit. They have been raised to believe in the Jewish culture that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming back to restore the kingdom of Israel. He's coming back in order to make their nation great again. And here he is, having died on the cross and their hopes being completely quashed, and then him rising again and their hopes being jubilated and excited, and Lord, this is it, we know you're going to do it now. And suddenly here he is on the mountaintop saying goodbye, and they say to him, Lord, when are you going to actually do what you said you're going to do? When are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says to them, he says, here's what you need to know. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Well, thanks, Lord. That's great news, but that doesn't answer our question. And I totally 100% can relate to that idea of what Jesus said, in the sense that a lot of times people say, don't worry about your problems. Jesus loves you. That's fantastic news, but it doesn't always help in the situation when you're stuck on a problem or there's something going on in your life and you're struggling. And so the disciples, not really knowing what that meant, they decided that instead of panicking like they did when he'd passed away and died, they decided that they were going to go back to Jerusalem and follow his instructions. His instructions were to stay in the upper room and just wait. And so that is what they did. They went back there, and they were just hanging out. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he filled their lives. He filled them. They began to speak in tongues, and they actually made a massive spectacle of themselves. So much so that those who were visiting Jerusalem at the time saw them and thought that they were drunk. And in Acts 2, verse 14, we have one of my favorite verses. It's very simple. It basically, in the NIV, it says, and Peter stood up. Now, if you think back to the life of Peter and who he was as a disciple, he was kind of a little bold, a little impulsive, I think I could say. Maybe a little bit, I can relate to that also. But we know that when Jesus was taken away and arrested, he was confronted by people, individuals, and they said, hey, you were with this Jesus person, weren't you? And immediately he lies and he says, no, that wasn't me, that was someone else. And as Jesus had told him and had told him earlier that he was going to deny him, sure enough, the rooster crowed and three times Peter had denied Jesus. And at that time, the Bible says that he went away and he wept and he was heartbroken because he realized what he had done. So we look at this situation in Acts 2 and we're like, what is going on here? This is the same Peter? This is the same Peter who cowered and was afraid of admitting that he was a friend of Jesus But instead, he's standing up in front of all of these people who are accusing them of being drunk, of being maybe possessed, of just wondering what's going on. He stands up and he boldly proclaims Jesus to this crowd. And the Bible says that there were 3,000 people that were added to the numbers of Christians that day. Up until that time, there were maybe 120, as they said, in the upper room. But 3,000 people came to know who Jesus was that day by the testimony of Peter. And it got me wondering, what changed? What made Peter so bold and so courageous that he would stand up when only a few weeks before he had been cowering in fear and hiding and lying and denying his Savior? Further on, if we continue to read in that chapter, before the people began, I just lost my train of thought. But Peter says to the people, they ask him what they need to do to be saved. This is where I'm at. Sorry, guys. And Peter says this. He says, "Reconsider your lives, change your direction. Participate in the ceremonial washing of the baptism in the name of Jesus, God's anointed, the liberating King. Then your sins will be forgiven and the gift of the Holy Spirit will be yours. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children and for all people, even those considered outcasts and outsiders. The Lord God invites everyone to come to him." And so when we look at Peter and we look at how he's changed and what transformed in his life, basically the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit entered into his life at the day of Pentecost and it radically changed him. It made him bold. It made him courageous. It made him confident. And so when when Peter says to the crowds, he's like, you need to repent and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is what we as Christians need today, is the Holy Spirit. We can't live without him. We can't do anything without him. Lord, I cannot do this unless you enable me. Well, you know what? I need the Holy Spirit in my life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Each and every one of us needs to have that Spirit working in us, speaking to us. But it's not just as simple as saying, hey, I have the Holy Spirit or I need the Holy Spirit. We need to actually pursue him and want him and desire him. In Acts 3, which is one of my favorite Bible stories all time, there's Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. It's a tradition that they did as Jews, that they went up to the temple 3 times a day for prayer. And there's a man who's sitting outside the temple, and he's lame. And every day he's been brought there, and every day he begs for money from people, or from people going into the temple, in order to survive. He needs that money to live off of. Now, I started to wonder, because today Peter and John see him. But how many times had they seen him before and never stopped? Never asked him anything, never spoke to him. But today, of course, is the day where the Holy Spirit prompts them. And he says, look at this man. See that man over there. And so Peter and John go and they speak with him. And the man says, he holds out his hands and he's asking for money because he needs to eat today. And my favorite part is where Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I don't know, friends. I struggle a lot of times when I'm walking down the street and there's a homeless person there. We've been taught that we're not supposed to give them money because of the way that they spend the money, perhaps, or just the fact that it perpetuates and enables the behavior. And I struggle. I struggle a lot with that. I think, you know, God's command in our life is love. We are to love these people. I can't be responsible necessarily for how they spend that money, but at the same time, they're in need, and there's needs all around us. And I think God calls me to love. And what does that love look like? But I wish so much that I walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, that instead of being able to give them money, I would be able to take them by the hand and say, what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Peter and John gave back that man his dignity. They gave back his identity, and he was able to function in society again. And it was such a beautiful thing for him to be able to be cured and to be able to move about and have a job and be able to work. And it's one of those things where I think, like, as the Holy Spirit works in us. We see people as more than just what their situation is, more than what their ailment is. We see them for who they are in Christ. And I wish so much that in my life I had that confidence. I wish so much that I was able to walk up to people who are sick and be able to just lay hands on them and proclaim healing in Jesus' name. And I know that that comes from me walking closer with Jesus. I know that that comes from me saying, God, I actually want you to speak to me on a daily basis. It's not just enough for us to go through the day and acknowledge that we know who Jesus is. It's the active part of participating with him and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Yesterday I was speaking to a friend of mine on the East Coast, and we were just talking about this whole situation of isolation and about how challenging it is because you're used to seeing people on a regular basis and you're used to being in community with one another. And so she's taken the practice of waking up every morning and asking the Holy Spirit, who do you want me to contact today? Who should I reach out to? And she just listens. And she listens and God sends her to somebody who she may or may not have regular contact with on a normal day, or may actually not really know anything about that person or what they're going through. And God leads her in that way. And I think, friends, that is what God's calling us to in this time. It's to be sensitive to his Spirit. It's for him to be able to speak to us in the moments and just lead us to reach out to people who need it. And we may not even know what they need, but his Holy Spirit speaks to us and empowers us and gives us that confidence to do the things that we normally wouldn't be doing. But we're in very different times right now. We are living in very extenuating circumstances, and we need to just allow God's Spirit to work it out within us in these ways. Continuing on from the story from Acts 3 about the lame man who walks, Peter and John end up being arrested as a result of this, and they end up spending the night in prison. And in the morning, when the religious leaders come to them and ask them what it is that they're doing, basically, Peter and John tell them again the story of salvation, the story of who Jesus is. They testify of Jesus and his goodness, and they say, this is not done by our power, it's done by the power of Jesus Christ. And the religious leaders, they're baffled. They're completely confused because they know Peter and John to be fishermen. They are ordinary, unschooled people, just like most of us. We're average, we're ordinary. There isn't much about us that would necessarily be a claim to fame by any regards. And so the religious leaders are completely shocked, and they're wondering what it is that has given these men extraordinary confidence. The NIV version reads that they took note that these men were with Jesus. And I love that. I love that idea that the who they were was so apparent that they had been and walked with Jesus, and that now his Holy Spirit resided in them. Friends, when we walk down the street as Christians, or I guess as at this point in time we're not really supposed to be out about anywhere, but maybe as before when we walked into the grocery store, or occasionally now when we go and we keep our 2 meters from everybody, do people see the Holy Spirit in you? Do they know that Jesus is at work in your life? Friends, this is such a time that we are needed in our society. The love of Christ needs to be seen in us. We need to find ourselves at his feet, just seeking him and desiring him more and more, that it might be seen in us. How is it that possible that people could take note that we are with Jesus? Well, it's a simple fact of asking the Holy Spirit to be part of our lives. Asking the Holy Spirit to come and invade all those areas in our life that perhaps we haven't given to him yet. The things in our heart, the things in our mind, the struggles that we face. And I know it's so easy to say, but Lord, what about this? Lord, what about this struggle that I'm facing? You haven't answered that problem yet. Or Lord, you haven't given us a solution for this situation that our family's facing right now. Or my finances are in turmoil. Well, you know what? It's kind of like the disciples when Jesus was heading back to earth or up to heaven, and they were like, why haven't you established the kingdom of heaven yet? And Jesus says, this is what you need to know. You need to know that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Is it possible, friends, that we don't need to know the answers for all of the problems that we struggle with? Is it possible that we don't need to know what tomorrow holds? We just need the Holy Spirit today, right now, in this place, in our lives, in our homes, and in our families. For those of us that are struggling with things that we can't do anything about because it's outside our home and we're confined inside, the Holy Spirit is greater than all of that. He goes beyond the walls of our home. He goes beyond the 2 meters that we're asked to stay apart from people. And he transforms lives. I was originally going to speak on the story of Cornelius from the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of Cornelius is a Roman soldier. And he comes to Jesus and he's asking Jesus to come heal his servant. And Jesus says that he would, you know, okay, I'll come with you. Let's go. And Cornelius says, no, you don't need to come with me. You just need to speak the word. How much more perfect is that for these times where we can't reach out to the people who are sick and hurting and maybe struggling financially or just brokenhearted? We can't reach out to them. We can't be there for them in the ways that we're used to. But we can pray and we can send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes forth. The word of God goes forth. It does not return void. Let us then grasp hold of the things that we know, the truth that we know, the things that maybe we have forgotten. Maybe we've just let them become so mundane in our lives that they no longer give us that joy and that passion. But the Holy Spirit is here today. He's in our midst, no matter where you are. That's the beauty of who he is. It doesn't matter if you're in Ottawa. It doesn't matter if you are in England. It doesn't matter where you are. His presence is there. It doesn't matter even if you're sleeping and you're somewhere overseas in Australia and it's dark there. His presence is there. So let's grab hold of that today. I want to end and conclude just simply by praying with you today, no matter where you are and what you're facing. I know it might seem a little odd that you're in your living room and you might even be in your pajamas. I kind of hope that you are. And I want you to reach out your hands. I want you to just say, Lord, come, find me here in this place. And so as I lead you in prayer today, I want you to just let go of everything in the thought of what is normal and what we're used to. And instead, let's just accept the fact that Jesus can transcend everything. And he does, and he wants to. He wants to be a part of who we are in our daily lives. And just like Peter, he wants to transform us, that we would be bold and courageous and full of extraordinary confidence. So just let's just bow our heads right now, everyone around the world. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us and that you're constantly with us. Jesus, I think right now today of those that I know that are sick and sick with diseases and illnesses, that there isn't much hope. God, there's always hope in you. There is always hope in you.
Yes.
And like the lame man who sat at the gate year after year after year begging for alms, only to encounter you one day. Jesus, may that be today. May today be the day for those who are sick and have no hope, for those who have been waiting and waiting and waiting for a miracle. Jesus, today, may your Spirit touch them wherever they might be, in whatever condition they might be. And wherever their hope is at, whether it's in the absolute depths of despair or whether their hope is rising, Jesus, would you touch them? We say to them that silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give unto you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Walk in victory. Know that you are restored and made whole by the name of Jesus. Friends, let us take hold of the Spirit that is so freely offered to us. And be bold and brave as we walk out, as we encounter others, as we shop in the grocery store and we keep our distance from people. May we know and we may sense that your Spirit is touching them. Your Spirit is present with us. Father, we thank you so much just for your goodness. We thank you so much for your power, your grace. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just ask that you would fill our lives with hope and fill our day with your presence, that we would hear you, we would sense you and know you are there. Lord, we thank you that we live in a country where the freedom to worship you and worship you more publicly than we ever have in years past, because we're able to post on the internet and we're able to put things out in public. And we can do that freely. We thank you. We just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to work in our lives, continue to work healing across the globe. In your name we pray. Amen.